Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Hi, Dr. Price. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I am back. I'm ready. And wait, is this a holiday? Are we in a holiday?
This is the 4th of July.
Well, Ashley, then we should be cooking out, right?
Yeah. We should be, and we are. After this, there will be cooking happening.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I'm excited about being here. It's good to be here. I'm glad that you decided to show up today, Ashley.
Why, thank you. I just couldn't help myself. I don't know how I would miss, you know, the hour of Prayer Power, the Paula Price Show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm excited about it. We just came out of a wonderful event, did we not, Ashley?
Yes, we did, and it is so hard to believe that this time last week we were kicking off the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, literally Thursday morning, well, Wednesday night, I guess, orientation, but we were shifting over and you were broadcasting live with all of the people screaming their heads off in support and excitement.
And it was an exciting time. That thing got off the ground on fire. You know, usually you're saying, okay, we have to gel a little bit, but the people came with such expectancy and such enthusiasm. It was as if God had to deliver because they were putting a major demand on the Spirit of God, and he met us in an astounding way, you know. They were excited asking even about orientation. You know, usually it's like, okay, no, that wasn't even just a form for them. They enjoyed orientation.
Yes, and from what I heard, it was quite fiery. I mean, it was almost like a service, the pre-service, get all the juices going and the anointing flowing, and they were all pumped up.
They were. Well, I've been following some of it on Facebook, and goodness knows, I feel like Prophet Tyler, I feel like our family left us. By the time we were saying goodbye to the last ones on Sunday, I was like, oh, my gosh, they're gone. It's over. And it seemed like it was, you know, it was over so quickly. What I appreciated about it, I know you have your special high points, but what I appreciated about the forum this year, aside from the fact that we have the largest contingent of apostles and prophets that we've had in a while, is that God genuinely created a womb. You know, Prophet Jonathan Ferguson said that. He said, this isn't a womb, this is a womb. And he genuinely did. The womb-like experience never ended all the way through it. And we got to know each other. But I thought, you know, from Apostle Sally kicking it off with apostolic worship every morning, you know, to the worship. And then the prophecy that came on Saturday afternoon, or was it Friday afternoon. I mean, it was truly a womb-like experience. And everybody grew there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, excuse me. It never stopped. Apostle Sally, she did what Apostle Sally does, which is open up the heavens and keep them open. And having her do that worship in the morning and how God flowed throughout the day, the teachings were on point. What I love about the teachings, too, Dr. Price, is they stayed in the same vein, which is what contributed to the womb experience, the womb not closing up on us, is that you, Dr. Terry, Prophet Ferguson, the teachers, we all stayed in the continuum theme. We all stayed in the Daniel prophetic era theme and vein. And so it was one continuous flow. Nobody was confused. Well, Dr. Price said this, and then so-and-so unsaid it, and then someone else came in and said, we don't even know what, which creates such confusion in these events. Nobody was trying to grandstand or showboat and show their depth of knowledge. It really was, what does God want out of this event? And let's bring it.
And let everybody take it with them. So I want to personally thank all of those, my attendees, to Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2013. I want to thank each and every one of you personally for participating and for making it an extraordinary event. And all I know is that we have, you know, all it can do from there is soar. I genuinely believe we struck a move because God changed people in an instant. And, you know, I stood up and I told him, this is not a message. We talked about the continuum. And I said, this is not a message. This is a move. And God is going to move and he's going to establish it, you know, because many times we've been waiting for God to move, and we've been thinking that God should do this or God should do that. But I noticed over history that God's most enduring moves were with apostles and prophets, whether they knew they were or not. God's most enduring moves were with that, because it wasn't just about getting people saved. You know, when the church is established, a move has to mature, and it has to do more than just bring people to the altar. It must sanctify them from the world and bring them to the cross of Christ so that they are qualified to go to the throne of Christ. And so for those of you who are joining me today, I want to say thank you for joining me, because I know it's a holiday, and truly I debated on whether or not to do something pre-recorded or what, and my soul just said, but I miss you guys. I would miss you terribly if we didn't chat even for a little bit. Don't know how many callers we have, because I know that if a lot of people are choosing this opportunity to sleep in and to catch up on some much-needed rest. So I don't know all of that, but I wanted you to know I really miss you all. And I miss even last week, even though I was ministering and you kind of heard the session, I missed that one-on-one. I missed talking with you and hearing your hearts and sharing with you and knowing what God is doing in your lives and partnering with you, because that's what I do on this Paula Price Show. I partner with you for the victories that the Lord would have in your life. I partner with you so that you can understand, okay, God, how do I get here? What is this all about? Why am I constantly ending up here? Why did this happen? How is it no one can tell me what's going on? And you're my God. You're inside me. How is it I can't hear you? Or if I hear you, I can't understand. So I just want to say to you, thank you so much for joining me week after week. But it's good to be back. It's good to know that I have you, a couple of callers out there. We're going to talk about what it is that God is doing in your life, what's on your heart, and how God wants to address it. It's such an honor to be here. It's a privilege to be here to talk with you. I want to talk to you about when God moves. When God moves with people. And, I mean, when I thought about all of the people that showed up at the event, numbers of them kept saying, well, you know what, I didn't know what I was coming to, but God said go. But what God is going to do in this era of new era apostleship, for those of you who don't know me, that's what I am, my commission is, establishment of new era apostleship. It's new era apostleship restitution. Why? Because apostles start new eras. When God really moves, more comes out of it than an experience. When God really moves, he also gets, of course we get revival, but people are not the only thing that revives. God revives his word. He revives a zeal for it, a furor for his truth. He revives the ministers who have to carry it. He revives the integrity of his church, the reputation of his church. He revives everything. He doesn't just have a, we all showed up, felt good, laid out on the floor, vomited a little bit, cried a little bit more, ran around, barked like dogs, squeaked like pigs, you know, and meowed like cats. We that's not God's move. That's a human experience. And so what we're going to see, because every legitimate thing God does lasts, and what makes it last is that God doesn't require or rely on the human experience for his moves to last. God relies on fruit. You know, we forget that Jesus is a fruit man. He's about fruit. Go forth and bear much fruit, and that your fruit remains. And if you want to know the legitimacy is the lasting fruit, the enduring fruit, that fruit which remains, the new businesses that come out of it, the new entities that come out of it, the solutions to society that come out of it, the answers to communities and culture, whether it's buildings, whether it's homes, whether it's hospitals, whether it's schools, whether it's whatever it is, it's always a new wash of kingdom ventures and enterprises that comes out of a genuine move of God, because God is not vain. He is not an entertainer. We will never call him the great entertainer, because God is not an entertainer. God is a producer. He is a barrenness, he cursed. Vanity, emptiness, he cursed. Futility, he cursed. If you look at all of the things that the Lord cursed in Scripture, you will know that the one thing God cannot stand is barrenness, because that is a sign that what he has delivered is dying on the vine, or dying in the womb, or dying in the church, or whatever, but it's not bearing fruit. God, you remember, cursed that fig tree, because he delivered the edict from heaven, I'm coming, let everything be prepared to serve me. That fig tree did not have fruit. Now, you would think, poor tree, I mean, it's just an inanimate thing. Why would he get so angry with a tree? True, there was an object lesson there, but the edict had come from heaven that the Son of God, that God himself, their creator, was coming, the very essence of Jesus, the very presence of Jesus, his emissions as God incarnate, was enough to bring life to everybody. If it can open the blind eye, if it can raise the dead, if that same emission, his very words could bring back people from the dead, cross there, or got people off their deathbed, how dare a tree, how dare a tree not bear fruit in his presence? And that's important. God didn't care about it wasn't the season for figs, because he's like, I am the season. You know, when Jesus shows up, that's the season. That's Kairos, that's Kronos. We can talk Kairos all day long. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But when Kronos hits Kairos, God expects fruit. And so when God has a move, whatever his move is, when he has a move, a real move of God leaves behind enduring institutions and kingdom enterprises and ventures to sustain what he has just brought in. If he brings in a mass populace, God is going to sustain and to prosper what he brought in, whatever that is. And that's something, I don't know who this is for today, but you need to know. And I believe by the Spirit of grace that it's for the wider body of Christ. But you need to know that when God's genuine move happens, people are more than blessed. Nations are blessed. Communities are blessed. Businesses and establishments are blessed. God's blessings come out and they wash over the planet. They don't just wash over a soul. And we have kind of confused that. You know, when we think about that soul winning model, you know, because most moves we've had have been just about a soul winning model. Well, we won souls and, well, that's it. No, no, no. When God genuinely has done what he's going to do, you're going to win soul. That soul is going to get clean. That soul is going to find some training, going to get some education. That the soul is going to have a school that fits. Everything. It's a complement. He comes with a complement of new or revived provisions. That's why providence figures so greatly in it. That's why God's real moves take a long time to gather, a long time to mobilize. And they take a long time to mobilize because God builds a support system before he starts drawing his people. He always will build an infrastructure, a support system. He will convert people to it. He will educate them in it. He will instruct them. He will empower them. He will endow and endue them to hold. Jesus said, keep that which has been entrusted to you. He said to his Father, of all that thou hast given me, I shall lose nothing. You know, the church is okay with its losses. It's okay losing. It's almost like it's part of the martyrdom of the church, that it's okay that we lose. So much so that, you know, you can't get the body of Christ to move to protect any of God's ventures, any of his entities, because, wait, they're too busy siphoning it off, too busy, you know, taking from it to bring something to it. But I prophesy to you today that God has a move, and this move has been in play for a while, and he has been building up slowly but surely. He has been building up the guards to take care of it. When you think about when Jesus came, the first thing he did after he let them know, hey, I'm here, guys. I'm here. Messiah's come, preach his word. The first thing he identified was his guards. Who's going to keep this for me? Who's going to maintain this great work? Because God hates futile efforts. He hates futility. You will never get him to, you know, well, it's all right. It's all right that we didn't win. It's all right that God's going to win something out of everything he does. And many of us don't know that side of him, but God is going to win something. I don't care what you say. I don't care if he wins correction for his people, chastening for the sinner, or testimony or witness for the saint. It doesn't matter. God gets something out of everything he does. He is, because he cursed barrenness. And if you're on today listening to me, I want you to know that. He cursed barrenness. So the first thing he did, he got his 12 apostles. Okay, I've got the guard. And he began to teach them so that they could learn the institution that he was about to establish on earth. And he let them know how to know who he was. The continuum piece kicks in because he showed them, I'm he who was coming. And these are the reasons I came. He did not just come for people to have a wonderful religious experience, a wonderful spiritual encounter. That is not God. That's futility. God cursed it. He came that they may have life, but that life was not to begin and end with the human being. That life was to begin with the human and extend to community until they covered the world. And so we're going to see God move again, but this is not going to be like before. It's not going to be everybody running around barking, crying, sniffing, and snotting. That's not going to happen. Well, those effects may happen, but if that's not going to define it. And I wanted to get very clear on how to define God's move, because he is not what you think. He is, God is orderly. He's a lawgiver. He's structured. So he's going to have that, but he's going to have such power and such potency that's going to stun and amaze the planet, because it's time for him to do a new thing. And because he says, I'm going to shake the heavens and I'm shaking the earth. We have not seen shaking and quaking. We're just getting started. That was just, you know, we were just having tremble. Because God is about to shake loose things that are not working for him so that he can make room, make place for the things that he wants to put to work for him. And a lot of you who are on this, you're part of that. That's why you feel restless. That's why you feel disconnected. You feel as if I'm floundering. You almost got this and you almost got this. Some of you will know that you're the ones because you started and so many things just, you knew it was God and then you only did a little bit and then it was over. And you're like, God, what just happened? I mean, I thought you told me to do this. And then he moved you on to something else. And some of you, not all, but some of you, to your friends and family, you look like you're unstable. Look like you're unsettled. You can't make up your mind what you want to do, because God is giving you, exposing you to all of the elements of the new work that he has for you, that he will kickstart when he launches and ignites this move. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, you have not wasted your time in the kingdom. Many of you, God is going to use those enormous skills, those superior skills that you have, that information that you got, that database that you thought, what am I going to do with? God is setting you up, because when God gets ready to do something, he first gets the guards, then he creates the place. Got to have a place. And after he creates the place, then he gets the custodian. And then after the custodians, he gets all of the stewards and all of that, so that he can rest assured that he is not ridiculed in the end. Anytime something starts and stops without, on human beings, God is subject to ridicule, but he always leaves himself a witness. He always has testimonies, and they're not just testimonies from people who said God did it. They're testimonies that nobody can dispute. Jesus does indisputable miracles. When he works a miracle, I want you to know it's indisputable. Nobody's going to question it. That's going to be, because he kept saying it. When he worked miracles when he was on the planet, what did he say? Go show yourself to the priests as a testimony to them. And witnesses and testimonies, they were not people whose word we had to take just because. They were people who had a genuine testimony, a real witness that was verifiable and that was indisputable, that the people would know that the Lord had been among them, and that's how it is. You're going to see that kind of move of God, and you're going to see God's hand stretch like it's not stretched in this generation ever, and you're going to see if we won't have to exaggerate a thing. We won't be able to keep up with the news. The news won't keep up with the news, because God is about to move, and it's going to be astounding, and he will stun this planet and this generation in ways that cannot be copied. These will be incomparable moves, incomparable acts of God. They won't be imitated. You know, when you think about the 10 plagues, plague one, it was a contest. Plague two, okay, there you go. We can do that. We can work that. Plague three, wait a minute, the great divide started happening. And by the time we got to plague four, there was nobody on the court but the Lord Almighty. And that is the move of God we are about to see. Plague one, it looks like they, you know, tit for tat. You know, looks like that. But I can do it. You can do it. That's no big thing. But I'm telling you, the distinguishing, defining act that gives God the ball and makes it his court is about to happen. And it's going to be amazing. And nobody else is going to ever play again. When he's done, when God was done with that, nobody was playing. He took his folks. He went home. It was over. And we're going to see that move of God, because no matter what you see in the public eye, no matter what you see on the screens, that is not what God is moving with. God is moving with what he's been doing in secret that nobody knew about. Who in the world thought about Moses over there in Midian? Who in the world thought about that? Who thought about little baby Josiah? Nobody thought about that. Under David, everybody knew it was going to be either Absalom or Adonijah. It couldn't possibly be Solomon, because he was the embarrassment. So it's going to be very good for you. We're entering a very good time. And understand, the front runners are not the front runners. The front runners are keeping the gates, and that's great. Keep them out, that's wonderful. But what God is about to do has to do with things that have not yet been unveiled and truths that have not been unfolded. And so that is what I wanted to share with you today. You can see I got very excited about it, and, I'm still on fire from my event. But I got very excited about it, and so I want you to know, as we go into our call, you know, I'm thinking perhaps Ashley heard a few things. Maybe she has a thought or three. She told me not to call her name too much because she was handling calls. So I'm going to see if I can just kind of rope her in for her input. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. You know, I ended up not getting calls because it was so good. I thought, I'll work that out in a minute. It's a
thing that
you almost didn't have a show.
I'm telling you, I really wasn't. I mean, we were talking about it, and I was thinking, gosh, who's going to show, you know, who's going to call and whatever. I was always trying to figure out how was I going to fill the time, because I wasn't sure.
Your lines are lit up. There's not a shortage of people wanting to connect with you today.
That's so precious to me. It's so precious. So, hey, it's your turn. You get your come on, girl. You get to do the sidekick thing and give your feedback.
Well, you know, there is not much that I mean, there's nothing I really think that I could add to what you just said. Knowing that you moved into a serious, weighty prophecy that we're going to definitely circulate throughout the body of Christ, because that's a very rich word. What I appreciated, I think, the most about it was you naming the specifics of what it looks like when God has a move, a genuine move of God that is not, him just kind of stirring the waters and having there. I think that you were outlining the differences, I should say, between a visitation from God and a move. And usually when we experience visitations from God, we will slap the title of a new move on it when it's really him maybe sending an angel to stir up the pool. Some miracles happen. Some things happen. But it really is not a move of God. And so I appreciate you outlining what that looks like, the results, the fruit of it, that there is definitive fruit, that the nation is supposed to be blessed, the city, the town, wherever it's happening. There's supposed to be an outgrowth from that, and that it's in order, and it is potent. And it's not just, our wonderful fairy dust falling from the sky, but there are actual tangible changes and things happening. Anytime Jesus showed up on the scene, people's lives were changed. The towns were changed. Some of them loved it. Some of them tried to run him off a cliff, you know? But either way, you knew it was there.
And he always left strength behind. Every move of God always made his people stronger, not weaker, and more defined and emphatic, not confused. I think that your use of the Solomon's porch experience is absolutely perfect. And you know, every year, because God loves his people, he will move in your house. He will give you a refreshing in your house. He'll visit your prayers. He'll visit a church service. But that's not it. Every move of God is institutional. It will institute something new. It will construct things. It will build. It will shift powers. It will shift and migrate things. When God moves, he doesn't just move within people. He moves his entire kingdom forward. He moves the earth into another place. And we have got to accept that, because a lot of people not getting it, you know. And so every time we have a high, you know, I like what you said, you know, God stirring up the water. You know, we have a high praise. You had a lot of mood. No, he visited. He visited, and that's great. And visitations require some movement, but that's not the decisive actions and the decisive strikes that God is going to make in the planet. They're very different. And when he begins to stretch out his arm and he begins to flex his muscles, there is nothing to do but watch. You either jump in and say, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm on the right team, or you back away. And so, I mean, when you think about it, I look at Revelation where it says, you know, the heavens started shaking and the sky moved away. God moved and decided, I'm stepping in my planet. I'm going to make some changes, and I'm going to get what I want. As surely as Jesus Christ, the Lord, as surely as he is the Lord and the Son of God, the line of Judah on the throne of David, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, what we have seen and this last generation as moves will be almost ridiculed in comparison, because the man himself is doing what he wants, and we're going to be subject to sovereignty, the sovereignty of the Almighty. And I'm telling you, it's not just going to be storms and rains, because you know we know God is cutting up. It's not just going to be that. There are things that he will do, because he is king, because I can. He's going to do it. A lot of it is not going to make sense. Most of it is going to frustrate a lot of folk, and he does not care. And I appreciate being the prophet, being the apostle to say that, because he has been laying back waiting for a time. The team that he wants to use is almost ready. Some of that team is online right now. That team is almost ready. He devastated your life. He stripped you down to nothing. He took you out of your world. You should have been riding the crest. So-and-so got promoted over you. This one got the contract. That one got the deal. You did not get it. What is wrong with God? God told you you'd be great and all of that. Think about Moses. I mean, I'm supposed to be great. Why am I running for my life? And some of you are running for your life. But trust me on this word, as surely as our God is a witness to this here call, it's getting ready to get real good in Jesus' land. It's getting ready to be powerful in Jesus' land. And folk will not be talking about, is there a God? They're going to be saying, how can we stop him? How can we shut him up? How can we turn him off? You know, he said in Deuteronomy, he said, if I pull my sword out the sheath, if I wet my glittering sword, he said, I will not put it back until I've accomplished all the judgment I want. And we're about to meet him. And I said to our Ashley, you remember the prophecy? And anybody who's on the line, you can call our office, 877-419-1299. I'm telling you, call our office. I want that Saturday word. I want you to know, I said on Saturday, we are going to meet something this world has never had to contend with over the last several centuries, if not over the last millennia, but for sure the last several centuries. We're going to meet the true Christian. The Christian is not wondering what salvation is, not wondering how to know if you're saved. The true Christians have no questions about that. They got answers. And we're going to meet the true Christians. God was going to release the true spirit of the Holy Ghost on this planet, that same spirit that brought us the world that now is and removed the world that then was. And we're going to meet that Christian. And they're not the kind that we're used to. They're not going to be sitting over there crying in the corner, standing outside, holding candles, talking about we might get over. We don't know. That's not what he's going to do. We're going to meet a different kind. The Christian that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that's filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that Christian is getting ready to take the world by a storm. And trust me, there are millions of them. Now, he started this thing with 12. 12. Imagine today, he's got infinitely more than that. We're going to have a blast. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be for the faint-hearted. It's not going to be for the wavering and the fence straddlers. God is like, you in or you out? You coming or you going? He did that when he was getting ready to leave, trying to get the line up the next apostles and the next ministers to take over. He's going to this one. Lord, I got to bury my father. This one, I got to get the kids married. This one, I got to break in a new beast. I mean, come on. God is like, are you in or are you out? And I'm telling you, I say to you who are listening to me today, I don't know where this fire is coming from, but anyway, it is what it is. I'm telling you, God is going to visit you, and you're going to get that call, and it's going to be, are you in or are you out? Are you going or are you staying? Are you moving or are you sitting still? God is this is an either-or call. He didn't stop and ask them, well, why you got to marry? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Or even say, I understood. He just said, I'm looking. He is not filtering any longer. He did that. He's not sifting any longer. He did that. He is gathering, and you all are going to get calls from God. You're going to get visions. You're going to get manifestations. You're going to get summons from the Holy Ghost, and you won't have a choice to give your explanation. Well, Lord, I would, but the minute you say but, you exempt yourself. He's going to move on. Now, that's not mean he's not going to love you. That doesn't mean you aren't going to heaven. I'm talking about now he's putting together a force that's going to make happen what he wants. We're going to meet that power that shook the planet. The Holy Ghost, who has been really gentle, is coming up to be the same Holy Ghost that took nations. See, we always act like God only has one side, the side we like, the non-threatening side that makes us feel good. But see, my Bible said that the Lord is a man of war. He is a contender for the faith, and he did. Now, trust me on this word. Trust me on this word, those of you who are listening. God is going to visit you, to call you to duty. This is a call. He's not going to come crying. He's not weeping. He's not going to come begging and pleading. He doesn't have to. He's got many more options than he had back then. He's coming. He's going to ask you the question, are you in or are you out? Are you with him or are you against him? That's it. And he's not going to listen to your explanations and your excuses. You'll say one word, that's it. And I'll tell you, and these testimonies are going to happen. I'm going to hear you all. You're going to say, you know, Dr. Price said God was going to do it. You said, and it's going to happen. And it's rapid because there's a fire. This thing has already hit the ground. This is not something that's coming. It has hit the ground. And I see the Holy Spirit moving like a cloud on the ground, moving throughout the earth. He's getting the setup. I'm telling you. This is not something that we're going to talk about. Yeah, well, you know, they've been saying it forever. Not this. This here, this is done. God's coming in, and he's doing what he wants to do, and he's starting with you. He's starting with your soul. That's why he's been telling you, get that mess out your house. Stop visiting this. Stop going there. He's been on you. So you'll know if you're one of the ones that he's going to use because his hand is on your neck so tight you feel like you can't even breathe. He's not giving you any wiggle room whatsoever because he plans to use what he put in you. And so he's purging stuff right now. He's cleansing you. You can't stop weeping. You don't even know why. Because God is getting you ready. Because the King, not just the Savior, the King has need of thee. And there I go again, Ashley. You see, I'm stuck again. I'm in a flow, girl. Help me out. Help me.
I'm stuck with you.
Rabboni. I tell you, this thing is so real because God wanted to get this out. It's wonderful that this is Independence Day because God is getting ready to free himself.
Woo, Jesus.
All right. I think I got it out. I hope I got it out.
I'm rocking in my chair. It's good. It's heavy.
Woo, Jesus. He's dealing with it. Okay, do we have anybody on the line? Maybe if I go to a call, I could just bring myself off the ceiling.
Yes, there are people on the line. Okay, we have, actually, your girl Kim from the West Coast. She is on. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dr. Price.
I miss you, girl.
I'm just going to say it. I felt like I was over here in the overflow room. And I said, that's okay. We can get touched in the overflow room. I'll just be in the overflow room while the conference is going on. I am okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Girl, but you know what? I'm understanding you in the overflow room, and that's fine. And I know, hey, you had great week, the sweetheart. I miss hugging your neck.
Well, I miss the same. I kept saying, okay, God, now, come on now. I should be. But I said, all right, I'm gonna be content in my circumstance in the overflow room.
And you got it, didn't you, girl? Did you hear about this? I just poured some on you. Did you get that? Did you get all that?
I am messed up. I am. You had me on the floor. I'm in tears. I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, all right. I thought we were just gonna get on a nice little call here, so I could say I was in the overflow room. But I feel like I'm more in the presence right now.
I want you to know the Lord is so serious about the people he's pulling on task right now. It is like something that you hear people talk about. You heard them say, you know, way back in the 18th, 19th century, no, we're in this here right now. This is going to be so good for the king and so good for the kingdom.
Well, the word that you have just shared that is all over you, I can only say to the person out there who might be thinking, is it going to look like this? Is it going to be a ball of light? You're going to overthink it. Stop overthinking it, because what you said, I know I've had at least a taste of it. And I know you know that by the Spirit. So I'm here to say you do have, it is absolutely that definitive line of yes. If you stutter, don't stutter, because there is a definitive question that requires a definitive answer at that moment.
I know you're right. I know that's God. And I'll tell you something. It's going to look like everything God, and it's going to look like nothing we can define. It won't look like Hollywood, because God is a real deal. He's the genuine article. And so it's going to shake the world. I promise you, the world is getting ready to be stunned on what he's about to do, because he's about to take us to another place. And God just needed somebody to say, hey, guys, I'm coming. I'm getting ready to do it. I'm right there. He's about to do some astounding feats and acts that we just aren't ready for. And because we're such a superpower society, nobody can imagine that God would be anywhere near as forceful and as potent as he was in the days when we had no energy. So this is going to be a very interesting experience, because we're going to see how Jesus acts and how he trumps a superpower society.
The Christians of today have to stop reading the Word of God as if these are just stories of Joshua, of Moses. These are accounts of people's lives, accounts of what God has done, so that we can be very clear about what he's doing and going to do. And the more we keep reading it like a fairy tale, like, oh, isn't that so sweet, and oh, that was so nice, and oh, look at Sarah had the baby at 100 years old, and oh, that's so wonderful. No, that's an account of somebody's life. These are real circumstances, real instances. Gabriel is real. The enemy is real. Jesus is real. And we have got to get out of this fairy tale mentality and this pew-sitting mentality. And we all came together on Sunday. We sang in the choir on Thursday. I have deacons meeting on whatever day we have. No, it's about what you do in your daily life, because God is speaking through the daily life, and he is activated in your daily life every single day and in every single circumstance that comes your way, whether you're a mother at home, whether you are out in the marketplace, whether you teach, doesn't matter. But it is as you, and I can't wait to get I don't have the Saturday message, but I got a little snippet of it, but I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the true Christian.
Oh, but I tell you what, I'm excited, because this is a time for us to get excited. And because here's what we don't realize. When you read those Bible accounts, we read them so passively, and we read them so from the mind of the established church, the Holy Spirit's 2,000-plus years of success. We don't read the superstar that happens. God, you're talking about God. As he's been working superpower long before we had power. When we were still trying to figure out where the next candle was coming from, he was doing laser. You know? Like, wait a minute. Hold on. This is not new. This is he spared us. That's what he did. He spared us because he wanted to tame us and get a civilization and get a kingdom for his son. But understand, they are ready to go. They are this go time for them. They have been falling in for the last, at least since 2002. They have been falling in the planet and setting up. You know, you don't blow off a major campaign overnight. So they've been falling in the planet since 2002 that I know of. And they're like, oh, we're good to go now. We're set. We're ready to go. And, you know, if they had to go through all of that to set it up, they're going to be here a while. They're going to make a few things happen. So I'm excited. But how are you doing? Obviously, should I even ask?
As you know, God is an amazing God. And Dr. Price, I'm sorry. It just came on me that I would like to remind the callers that we need to be praying for you, be praying for this ministry, because what God pours into you does not come without a cost or any cost. And we have to remember to keep you girded up because he has delivered so much into you and more is to come. And you are absolutely his vessel and your ministry is his vessel that he is using to disperse what he wants throughout his kingdom, which covers us globally. And so I just wanted to remind the callers that I myself, as you know, it's a daily walk and the things that happen in our lives are what I still consider Polaroids. They are snapshots, and they are things that happen along the journey of our life as we continue to say yes to God. And so today I continue to lean upon him, be shielded by him, be covered with his mercies and his grace and his love, which is all a part of his power. And so I am thrilled with that.
Well, you sound marvelous, and I do know it's a, hey, in some days for you, sweetheart, it's an hourly walk, you know? Some days
yes,
it's hour by hour, you know? But I'm glad, I can't tell you what it means to hear your voice, because I said to Off when he was here, I said, but I need to hear from her. I just need to hear her voice. That's all.
Well, I am here. I have been just praying and just so excited for our connection. You know you have a daughter. You have a daughter over here on the West Coast, at least one, but I believe there's many over here. And I cannot wait to see you very soon and covet your prayers. And everything that you said has always spoken to me. Interesting enough, somebody came to me to add on to what you had said, or you almost restated what you had said to me in terms of advocacy.
Uh-huh.
And they definitely saw, and this was somebody who I would not have normally thought that a word would come to them. And I was like, wow, this is funny. You should say that. I have heard this already. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Well, I tell you, it's an honor, and I just want you to know that upsets and disappointments, even shocks such as yours, they don't nullify the word. You know, the word of God on our life is what it is.
Yes.
Because regardless of what happens in a single day, he has to occupy us for 365 days for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So nothing that happens in a day can nullify all of that he's called us to do. There's no mistake in God, and you are going to do this. I want you to take that saying to heart because it's going to be helpful to you, even in working through your grief. It's going to be helpful for you to go out there and be that person that God needs in your region.
Well, you know, as you were talking about, as when you mentioned the true Christian, I think sometimes we have to be reminded that we need to soldier up. It is a real fight that we have mm-hmm. here on this earth. There is a real battle that we need to become contenders. You know, it's one thing to say, I can knock people out, I can yield the sword. No, but can you take a hit? Then you
mm-hmm.
take it. See, a contender can take a hit and make it last through the fight.
That's true, but you know what? God won't send you out until you can take a hit. You know, I have a teaching that we do called the comeback plan, and for those of you who haven't gotten it, call and get that. You know, I got a lot for you all to call. You see, I want relationship with you guys, and I want to pour into you constantly. But I have a teaching called the comeback plan, and that is, can you take a hit? Can you win? Can you lose? But can you come back and recover all? Because it's the people who can come back that God can rely on, because he knows that his enemy can't take him out. See, so you have got to get good after you are listening. Get good. Now, don't just get good at winning, because a winner is one thing, but I want you to understand, and don't get comfortable in losing. Well, okay, that's the will of God for my life. Maybe, maybe not. But understand, get good at coming back and recovering. And that's something the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been that strong in this era. We're like, okay, we're so fatalistic. Well, that's God's will. No, it's God's will that you come back and win. And so, anyway, you want me to pray with you? Did you anything in particular you want? I know I want to pray, about, I want to pray for the kids.
Absolutely. And I had stated that at first I thought it was, you know, just, you know, the, being able to be sustained through this time. I said, no, what I want is to be a vessel that God can pour into. Because God talked about the old wineskin. You know, you can't put anything in that, right? I want to be a vessel that God can pour into. And I also want to remind people that if they haven't taken your assessment, you have a very specific tool, Dr. Price, for people to discover who they are in and through Christ Jesus, what God has placed in them that they don't even know about. And I just want to remind people that they need to take that assessment. It is crucial, and they need to get the advisement. It is crucial. It is necessary. It is necessary. You cannot go in. You cannot go further and not know who you are.
Especially if God is about to move and he's about to call you, you need to understand where he's going to place you and why he's placing you where he is. And it may not be where you've been comfortable. It may not be where your pastors have used you or your business has employed you. It may not be that. God may have plans to deploy you in something else entirely different because you've forgotten those secret treasures and those hidden things that are in your soul. And that's what the assessment brings out. That hidden thing, that thing that you thought was insignificant, well, nobody liked it. Or you tried it 3 or 4 times and nobody appreciated it, so you decided maybe that's not what God wants for you. But sometimes God buries our best so that it's not squandered in the training process. So some of you take that assessment. As soon as I'm finished praying with Kim here, we're going to have a commercial. We're going to do a spot. You know, I have 2 spots. So I'm going to do an announcement so that you can make sure you become a part of that. Since we've been on the line, though, Kim, since I've been doing this, our assessments have increased unbelievably. We're getting people from all over. We're getting all over the country. We're getting people from leaders who are having their churches do it. This has been really helpful. So the body of Christ is very receptive to this tool, and they're very interested to get into God's purpose for their lives. So I thank you for those very kind words. I really do. Now, are you ready to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. But just know this, daughter, I am so glad you called. This is the best 4th of July gift I could have gotten today because you have blessed my heart. Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you for Kim. God, I thank you for her love for you, her determination, and her resolve. Now, God, as they continue to walk through this last assignment, this sacrificial gift that you have imposed upon them for the glory, I'm asking that you continue to strengthen her. Lord, I thank you for visitations in her house and visitations to her children. God, I'm asking that you would go in and begin to heal and to pour out that healing balm on them so that they will get the best out of this. Lord, sorrow is for a night. And, Lord, I thank you for being with them in their sorrow, but letting them know that the sorrow and the sadness are not what you were going after. You're going after their success. God, I thank you that you are birthing vision in them and birthing purpose and mission in them through this time, and that as much as the enemy would like to make them think that this is over and you somehow missed it, God, you yourself, you have been speaking to them because this family is in your hand. This family's destiny and purpose are in your hand. And, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for comfort. I thank you for consolation. I thank you, Lord, even for economy. Even for seeds and service, I thank you for it. I thank you for open doors and open hearts And God, I thank you for giving them favor in the land that they can go forward. They've determined to stay on their feet and they're determined to go forward. Then God, I thank you for guiding the way and leading them into your purposes for that land in that region. And I praise you one more thing, God. I praise you for fresh anointing and fresh endowment from power from on high, from the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
And thank you. Now stay in touch. You know you can't leave me, girl, because then I'll be pulling out calls and search parties. You know how that goes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here to stay.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. You as well.
Ashley.
Commercial time.
Ah, yes. I think it is. Because we're almost on the hour. So it's a good time, huh?
That's right. Well, this is the perfect segue for an assessment commercial.
You think? Oh, Ashley, that's so prophetic of you. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you.
All right.
I'll be back, folks.
After these messages.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at, and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full-time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
All right, now is the time to take that assessment, especially if you are off of work today. Take it today.
Yeah, hey, look. I hadn't even thought of that, Ashley. They can actually use this day off to find their place in destiny and to equip themselves for what God is going to do, because this move is going to happen.
Yes, it is, and it might as well happen, as we say, through us and not to us.
Isn't that nice? You know, it's so funny how I got there. Remember years ago, God, you know, I was giving God difficulty. It was going back way, way back, and I was like, well, God, you know, I'm not sure. He said, listen, I'm going to move, whether you're ready or not. Now, you decide whether it happens through you or to you, but a move is going to happen. And isn't that great about our God? He's so emphatic.
Yeah, and if you have an ear to hear, you do get it just a little bit ahead of the curve.
I think that's why we call it the thing prophetic. So, Ashley, do we have any other people on the line? I know we do. I feel them out there.
Oh, yeah. You have plenty of people on the line. Right now, I'm going to open up the line to Joy in Connecticut. She is calling because, Dr. Price, she would like for you to pray for her. She will need a new job in October. Her company is moving to the East Coast, to a different place on the East Coast. And so she would just like prayer for that. So Joy from Connecticut, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Well, hello, Joy.
Hello.
Is this your first time calling us?
This is my first time, yes.
Yeah, I know, because, see, you know, on the third time, you know, you're going to be a lot more open and looser. See, I knew it was the first time. You're like, I have to figure out the lay of the land. I'm not quite sure how this goes. But talk to me, Joy. Tell me what's on your heart. And, you know, how do you want me to play for this?
Well, yeah, I'm concerned about my job. I've worked in my job for 15 years. And I do believe God, but I just want more clarity and direction as to sometimes we can not understand everything that God is doing. So I just want to be in a place where I can hear he's speaking to me, and I know that he's ordering my steps.
Well, here's what I will tell you. The Holy Spirit wants you to take business training. So it's obviously you have some vision or idea that he's been giving you that has been incubating a little bit over the last several years. I hear the Holy Spirit saying something that you tapped into 7 years ago is what he's going to start bringing to fruition. You've had some great visions in your life. You're a woman of great visions. You are a visionary, in fact, at work. You can just see things. You see. And it's always in that entrepreneurial vein. The Holy Spirit said, take some business courses and take courses that will bring out what you're called to do. I realize you're administrative. I know that. But there is something entrepreneurial that God wants you to do as well. That is what I really hear from God concerning you right now.
Okay.
Did I lose your joy?
No, I've heard this before.
Yeah, but you know what? It's okay to want to hear it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. There is nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
So you need to take it. Now, I want you to know, too, you have is there some sort of business plan or project you were working on way back? It was going to be with another person. It was a team thing. I see you sitting around a table. It was a great idea. One of them is a guy. It was a young man. But you were sitting around a table, and you all were just brainstorming, you know, kind of having that what if thing. And but go back to that moment, because that is where the answer is. Now, I see the table. I see you sitting around it. There's three of you at this table. And so I'm saying to you that God is ready for you to do that. And he said to tell you, don't panic. He has never failed you. If anybody has put God to the test, you have. Over the last 3 years, you've had to really put God to the test, and he delivered you. He says, don't panic.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
You like to panic. See, you know, you ask, you're already back here in, where are we? We're in July. You tell me October. You're like, I got to get it straight now, God. Right now, I need to know. You see, so you have a few months to get there, but get into that training. I know it's administrative, but there is an entrepreneurial venture that's going to come your way, and you need to shift, because, you know, if you're going to do business coming out of a corporate structure, you know, a lot of people think corporate folk are real good to go for entrepreneurs. Not necessarily so. They're there for all those years because they're good company people. Entrepreneurs have a whole different mindset, whole different way of thinking. And so God wants you to get into some of those trainings so that you'll shift your mindset. You know, it's one thing to come step out of a company, you know, and all you have to do is go to the back room to get a case of pencils. It's another thing when you got to be looking for one pencil and hope you can make that happen.
Okay.
All right, so that's the word of the Lord concerning you today. Can we pray?
Yes.
Amen. Father, I thank you for Joy. I thank you, Lord, that her journey with you has been sweet. and salty at the same time, that she's had more ups than downs, and she's had more victories than she's had trials. I thank you for that, because God, even she doesn't know how closely you've kept her to your chest and how you've held on to her, even when they would have thrown her out and they would have done all manner of things to her, but you've always covered her. I thank you for the prayers of the mama that secured her future and for the dad that wanted to make it happen. And God, I thank you for the spiritual leaders that you're putting around her, even now, that are going to see that she is sure-footed. But I praise you, God, that you've given her hind feet, that she, through this ordeal, will ride up on her high places, and she'll find her place and purpose in you over these next several months. I thank you, Lord, that even within 3 months, that's 90 days, you're going to do, some major miracles in her life. And she's going to know that truly her steps are ordered of you, but her life is in your hand, and that you decreed her life and the outcome when she was but a babe in the womb. And Lord, even looking at her being held, I look at her in the father's hands of grandfather, but I see her in the hands of a man that interceded for her, even as an infant, to make sure that she fulfilled all destiny, not only for herself and her children and family, but for her family line. So I bless you for her today. And I thank you, Lord, that you begin to remind her, because she's lost sight of a few things, that you begin to remind her of who she is and how you have walked with her and held her by the hand and kept her all the days of her life. And I bless you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Joy. Call me again and let me know now.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye.
Ashley.
All right. We have next on the line Crystal from Michigan, and she is calling you. Yes, Michigan. She said the word that you gave at the beginning of the call just kind of hit her right on the head, and that God has been dealing with her along those lines, and she also would like prayer for being able to conform to that word. So, Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you, Dr. Price, for taking my call today. I'm just really blessed by what you've been talking about. It just described me. I'm excited to know that, you know, that the word is for me, but in the same instance, I feel like just a season of confusion, being unsettled and unfocused. Just don't know what I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to be. Have been feeling like I'm supposed to move, and the resources are really not there. So just getting some prayer and confirmation of some things.
Well, Crystal, welcome to the show. I'm glad to take your call and to hear your voice. I'm excited about it. You know, the first thing I want to ask you is, have you taken my assessment, Crystal?
No, I haven't, but I do plan on taking it, Dr. Price.
Okay, because that's going to do one-third of the work for you. When you are in God's upsets, you know, you're in the throes of his change and the throes of his transition, it gets very murky. You know, when you're moving down a highway at a high speed, everything is murky. You know, he's moving you so fast, you know, you're driving so fast, you thought there was a tree and maybe there was a billboard, and well, I thought I saw something on the side of the road, but all you can do is just stay focused so that you don't derail your journey as you're going along. And so when God is transitioning us, it's often like that. He's moved us from where we were, but he hasn't yet settled us in where we are. Along the way, he's working on us, teaching and training. He's reminding us of things, purging out some things for the new place, installing others, again, for your success in your new place. I feel, Crystal, that that is you. You have been on God's highway. You've been kind of fluctuating between the highway of transition and the altar table of transformation. So you get to a destiny, you're there, okay, this has got to be it. Okay, so this is not it. And you have had a number of major cuts and wounds. You needed every one. Every one. You needed every cut, every wound. I just see you laying on the altar table of God. I see the cuts. I see God is literally, Jesus is your faithful high priest. And I'm telling you, he is working on your soul. He is changing your psyche. He's changing your heart. He's changing your mind. You are a strong willed young woman. You also, when you get a vision, you've got a vision. Bless God. This is how it's going to go. And because you are known for taking charge, you're known for being successful, God is messing with you. He is almost making you have to script and scrape for everything you get from him. He's not making anything easy, because that apostolic call on your life is what God is working toward, and he cannot have a person, a prophet like you, telling him what to do. You have called the shot with God for a long time. I'm looking at 18. I don't know if it's 18 years or you 18. You called the shot from God. You've been telling God, but I know I got to thank you, Lord. Now, it's not like you don't love him, because you do. God is your father. He's your buddy. He's your pal. But God said many times, you use me as a lucky charm. I told you what I wanted to do, and you wouldn't do it. He said, so now I'm calling the shot. He said, I'm rowing this boat, and we're going to go where I want to go. And he said, I'm not putting you on a steam cruiser. I'm rowing. You are going to row with God. That is where he is. And so you are an amazing woman. God gets such a kick out of you. He absolutely loves it. Trust me, he does. But that's not where this is right now. Right now, where he has to send you, you're going to have on the spot minute obedience. There is no room for you to second guess him. There's no room for you to go and poll your friends and poll your family so that you've got everybody's approval. There is no room for that. Where you're going, it's got to be you and the king. And he said this whole experience, even a hateful ordeal that you just came out of, was about you listening to his voice, heeding it, and obeying it in the moment. So your cuts were needed, because God had to purge a few things. But he said, trust me, daughter, I have great thoughts for you. He said, my thoughts for you are higher than you could ever dream. Where I'm taking you, I can't risk. You have to be a no-risk implement for the Lord, and he's going to make it so there are no risks. So, hey, kick back, and every day, you're with Elijah. You're going to, honey, the raisins going to come, bring you a little something. Thank God for the raisins. But that's how it's going to be for you, because that's how much power God wants to put in your life. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Dr. Price. Right on.
Well, let me. Say it again.
That is right on. I don't know.
Oh no, you're an amazing woman, and see, you're too amazing for God to lose to anything. So you and God are gonna have it. This is you in the early part of him getting you ready, sis. You're not even ready to put on the robes yet. You are at the point where he's still scrubbing and flaying, but you're gonna do fine, because you are a woman that he has ordained and decreed to walk in the high places and to wear the right robes, the robes of glory for him. And God's like, you're not gonna sell me out. So that's why he's got you buckling under, and it's messing with your psyche. I understand, because I know how God can do you. Now, I'm telling you, he can act like he didn't even like you. You're like, do you like me? What happened? I don't understand. But then you find you get the mystery, because he said to tell you, Crystal, he said, I'm going deep in your soul to bring out my mystery treasures that you've never known were there. And while you are, because you're so social, while you're on the front page and on the front stage, he can't do that. So there you are. Your thing is going to be in God's timing, and it's going to be his way. And that's going to be hard for you. And he said, also, you know prophetically what I told you. I instructed you a long time ago. 10 years ago, God told you this was coming, and you did not get it because you thought it was going to be then. So you jumped on it right back then. But here's what he's talking about. Right here. And you're going to win. If ever there is a woman who is marked for greatness and a win, you're one of them. But you know you and Jesus, and you're not going to run him. He's not going to let you run him. And the wonderful thing about being the Lord, he's like, I already died, so you can't kill me. I rose from the dead, so you can't burn me. I already ascended back on high, so you can't find me. I sit by the right hand of the Father, so you can't overwrite me. So guess what? Let's work together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know. Y'all mess you up. You're like, I woman to wreck up my whole 4th of July. Why don't I just pray the rest of your day for you? Hallelujah. I can't get a piece of hot dog about it. The woman got, I'm going to be in my room. Just turn up for the Holy Ghost. Turn up for the Holy Ghost. Just you and Jesus. Hallelujah. And listen, I'm only the opening act. He hasn't gotten in himself because you know what's going to happen the rest of this day. He's been waiting to chat with you. So, sister, whatever the big day was, I'm telling you, you're probably going to beg off a lot of it because God wants to talk with you. He said, I want to feed you myself. I want to feed you from my own mouth. I want to do that. So, hallelujah. Father, thank you for Crystal. Thank you for your visitation. Thank you for your word, your love, your mercies, your tenderness. Thank you, God, for your grace on her life. Thank you for the business that she's going to start and excel in, Lord. Thank you for the ministries that she will found. God, I thank you for this apostolic grace on this prophet's mantle of hers. And I thank you that from this day forward, she's going to hear you. I thank you for opening up her spirit and filling it, fusing it with your wisdom. From this day forward, I give you grace. We do provide providence as you get it. As you row your boat, we're going to release the providence you need. You'll get the fish when you need it. You'll get the food when you need it. You'll get it all. But you are going to come under the training and the yoke of the development of the Almighty because God finds you very important in his kingdom. And so we bless you, God, for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Fry. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I'm sure I'll hear from you again after you come out. God bless.
God bless you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Ashley.
Praise God.
I know. And I can hear you sitting in the back saying, oh, Lord.
I was like, wow. Wow. Amen. That's all you can say.
Hey Ashley, that's not you don't run from that to go to the grill. That's not happening.
No. This is when you're glad you didn't make this call when you were lunch break because you'd be a mess.
I know. Like I can't go back to work after this. Do I have enough?
Yeah.
I know it, right? And then all night because you know he does that. He's on you all night. He won't even stop.
Oh yeah, no. That's just the beginning of a whole new relationship.
I know it. Isn't it wonderful when God decides I'm ready and he steps out of anonymity? Because there are times, and for those of you who are listening, God is about to do that for so many of you. He's stepping out of obscurity. He's stepping out of anonymity. He's stepping up to your face, and he's saying, okay, you've been pulling on me. You've been calling on me. You've been tugging the hem of my garment. What are you going to do? What do you want? And I say to many of you out there, you need to start now preparing your answer. Because the question is coming very soon. Okay, Ashley, do I have another call?
Yes, you do. So you're about to slide back in that prophetic thing, Dr. Price.
Did you see? I pulled myself back. Did you see? I held myself back.
I was going to let you go.
Today is a day of prophetic drips. I am dripping and dropping like all over the place because, you know, God is excited about something he just did. I don't know what he did between yesterday and today, but he is having a blast about it. He's extremely excited about what he just did. So if I fall into it, that's only because he just wants another shout-out. That's just how it is with the king. But okay. I will take a call.
All right. Well, very good. I have one for you. You have on the line right now Dr. Price Francis from Texas. She is calling because she is transitioning from one church to another one, and she's transitioning because her church closed down. And so she's working through that within herself. She's also in a new state and is working through that. So, Francis, welcome to the call.
Hi.
Well, hello, Francis. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am fine. Are you another one of my new callers?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and I like the new callers, Francis, because this is how that goes. Hi, I don't know why I'm calling. Not sure I want to hear. Hope I get the right thing. Hi, you know.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. But, Francis, fortunately, this was a good day for you to call because God has answers for you. And he has many answers for you because this is not the beginning of your up and down in God. You've been on a roller coaster for a little bit. There's been, you know, I see you on stormy waters and then, you know, minor storms, but enough to upset you. And you're that woman that every time I get my feet going, I get a pace. You know, you get a rhythm in life. You know, I get that rhythm.
Yes.
You're a woman. What just happened? Dumb stuff. Dumb stuff pops up. Because God wants to get you, because, you know, I don't know if you've taken my assessment, but you should, but I see the spirit of evangelist all over you, and I see trips to the nations, I see missions. You are definitely going to travel for the King, and you're going to take this gospel to a lot of different places. I also see you working in various, I see a couple of African nations. You have a great outreach, and although you want something nice and safe, it's not happening for you. It's not going to be nice, not going to be safe, in the sense of you're not going to do that 9-to-5 thing. You know, you're going to send a lot of people off to the mission field, so you won't have to go. They have an offering, baby, you're going to send them. Hey, you want some money? I will give you some money. But, Lord, but you have the call of a great evangelist on you. And I'm talking about one with the power, signs, and wonders. That is who you are. You have the call to shake nations. So here's what God wants you to do. Learn his word. Learn the message. Get where he's going. Get with that right mentor, because you and God are about to take the nations by storm.
Wow.
Didn't expect that, did you?
No, not at all.
So you can't even pretend. So I know you want to get anything.
It does explain some of the dreams, because I dream a lot. And when I dream, I fly, and I'm over different nations, and I can see things.
Yeah, because you're going to be in those nations. You should write them down, because God is going to use you as an awesome missionary. You have, I'm telling you, and over the next 6 months, this thing is going to start taking shape in your system, in your spirit, but also in your natural life. God is going to set your natural life up to follow this plan, and you are going to do it. That intercessor fire of yours, you're going to have to start really reviving that and stoking that flame so that you can pray for the nations, because you're going to get those. You can get your nations by the Spirit. God's just going to tell you, this is where we're going to go, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do that. And I'm telling you, you have a great work with African women. I don't know where it is. I want to say someplace like Kenya, but I know you have a great work with African women. And you have another great work just as an evangelist in the field. And you will, it'll start slow. So don't think, okay, well, I thought this was God. And you don't have to decide how to make it happen. God says to tell you, I am the setup. So he is going to set this up for you so that you don't even have to struggle with how to begin. So your connections are going to happen. In a little bit, you're going to get several divine connections, and they're going to come to you and say, you know, God told me to do this, or God told me to do that. Even the church that he sets you in is going to be very receptive to who right away. Please don't go and sell your house and quit your day job, because there's a developmental and there's an empowering of your spirit for the anointing and the move of God that has to go through it. Many times people think, well, I know the word and I can preach. And let me tell you something, God is a powerful God. And when he begins to move through your vessel, you need a couple of upgrades to be able to tolerate that. I know this firsthand. So you're going to find a lot of powerful moves as God, and sometimes in your sleep, he's going to do it, begin to build you into this vessel that he's sending to the nations. And quite frankly, can I say I'm happy? Because we don't get enough evangelists. Can we get the people to go out and have the babies? We just bring the children in. So I'm excited about you. I bless you today. I bless you for this call. I bless you for this office. I bless you for this office, because you are going to end up, I don't care where you are right now, that is who you're called to be. That's why you want people saved. You want to get them healed. They got to get right with God. That's important to you. And so you're going to get an opportunity to be used of God to do it. Your connections are coming. You're going to get about, I see they're coming, the first group is going to be three people, then you're going to get two more. You're going to end up with five, and God's going to connect you with some sort of an apostolic network for you to do this. Francis, did I lose you, girl?
No, I'm just taking it. I'm taking it in. I'm just like, oh, I don't even like being in front of people.
But that's what makes you great. See, I didn't like it either. People think that I really just was what I wanted to put some newsletters out. That's all. Just put out a few newsletters. That's
yeah,
all
my desire is to just, you know, I like writing, be an author, and get it out.
Yeah. But you know, you got to have, now you're going to do some training as you disciple, because you're going to have some amazing discipleship tools. It's going to be wonderful. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
See, and the Lord will work it, but you were going in a direction he didn't want to go. So he had you talk with me today so you could start cooperating with what he's doing. And also because you're so insightful and incisive, people are going to want to lock you, knit you in the wrong office. God wants you in this. You're going to be one of these real powerful evangelical society. Trust me, that's who you are, and you're going to be great at it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm going to, I know, don't worry about it, I was there. I never forget, I was so proud of myself. Let me tell you how much I was convinced, I didn't know God at all. Now, I thought I knew him, but I had this little newsletter I sent out once a week. It was very difficult to get out, because back then, you know, we didn't have computers and all of that. And I sent it out, and so I sent out about maybe 6 months to a year's worth. I wrote myself a little teeny salvation pamphlet, told God I was finished. I had completed my ministry. Holy Ghost said, you haven't even begun to think what I'm going to have you to do. I'm like, are you kidding? This is a lot. Because sometimes when we're doing more than we've ever done, we think we're doing all that God needs. So he's shifting you, beloved, and be ready for the shift. He's shifting his training. He's going to shift the scriptures that you focus on, because you have a whole ministry pattern based on somebody else that God did not tell you to follow, but you're going to be all right. You're going to do fine. Father, thank you for Frances. Thank you for who she is. Thank you, Lord, for the work you called her to do. Thank you for getting her through on the line today, that I can deposit in her what you want and how you want her to think and feel about her future. Thank you, Lord, that you're putting her feet on the course of destiny. I shield her right now for her readiness period. Lord, calling only those that you want to touch her, hallelujah, to touch her, and Lord, removing those out of her life that will deter her from your purpose. I thank you, God, for finishing the work you've done in her heart and the work you're doing in her soul. I thank you for finishing it and causing her spiritual and her natural intelligence to meet so that she can know what you're doing. So, God, we renew her in the spirit of our mind as you begin the transformative work in her soul for her to go forth into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And I thank you, God, that she's going to get it, and when she does, it's going to be memorable to her and to your body, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Bless you, Francis.
Well, praise God.
Okay, I was like, I think I lost her. I think she just fell off. Did she just fall off?
No. She's still there.
Is she?
I'm just thinking. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen, sweetheart, the beautiful thing about this, Francis, is that you get to go back and listen to this again and again, because this stays on the Blog Talk site. You can download this word and to your computer, put it on a disc, and begin to pray about it and pray over it. Of this much I will tell you, I am not wrong. I am right on this. And even though you don't see it, oftentimes prophecy speaks to your darkness because you have not yet found the light switch. So I'm right on this, and you're going to do it, and you're going to be great at it, and God is going to have a blast in your life. So God bless you. You're going to check back in with me after you catch your breath, pick yourself up off the floor, call us again, and we'll talk some more.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You're so blessed. Bye.
You know, you did that to me, Dr. Price. The first two prophetic words you gave me in 2000. I wasn't ready.
After you didn't get ready in 2001, 2002, or 2003,
Ooh.
You know?
No.
So, well, because you know what happens in situations like that is you get a lot of prophets that will look at what you're doing and not really go into who you are. You know, so they'll look at you singing wonderfully and say, thus saith God, you're a singer. Or they'll look at you, you know, ministering wonderfully at the altar or helping your leaders, and they'll say, thus saith God, this is who you are. But that, and so you begin to believe that, and they're not wrong. They're just not going deep enough. Sometimes you need to recognize that, yeah, you're going to sing in your evangelical ministry, and you're going to help leaders as an evangelist. So they're not wrong, but sometimes you need that person to pull it all together. Let me just show you the whole portrait of your future and your destiny. And I think that's what just happened to Frances. I went in there because she had a whole lot of other words. You realize that you need to get some prophecy to know why, whether or not a person is going to receive God or to know the Spirit is not going to yield them to the cross. So you need that. You need the teaching. You need that discipleship. You need all of that. You need to write if you're going to have some training manuals and all of that. So none of that is wrong. It's just putting it in the right portrait. And I think for her, God is going to paint this portrait. And I bet you, because this happens all the time, I bet you after she gets over it and they have an opportunity to sit and she can, you know, just minister with the Lord and fellowship with him a little bit, he's going to take her back to the time of what he was saying before all of the other stuff comes in. Because sometimes you can get lost in the destiny of your church. Because especially if you have a church that brings in a lot of prophets and a lot of speakers, those churches can confuse the water a lot because this one sees you in one vantage point, someone else sees you in another angle, and before you know it, you lose whole destiny of who you are. Even the passions that you went in there with get absorbed in that diversity. So I think that's one of the things that we have to prepare people for, because when it's all said and done, God's going to honor what he said.
Indeed.
Well, it seems like we're having a great day today. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, we're having a great day. And a lot of people are having a great day with us.
I love that. I think it's so marvelous that they would give me a little bit of their time on their day off. I think that's phenomenal. I think I have time for one more call, and then we'll take another break.
All right. Well, we have on the call right now Linda from Connecticut. And she, the first thing she said was, I am going to take the assessment, but she would like some clarity on her purpose. Seems to be a bit of an inner turmoil happening with this, and so I know you will sort through that. So, Linda from Connecticut, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Price. Hi, Ashley. I'm a first-time caller. And in addition to what she had put out, I'm also trying to find out what church I'm supposed to go to. I've been feeling like I'm supposed to move, but I don't know where to go, and I just want to be where God wants me to be.
Okay. Have you been visiting a particular church, Linda?
I have in times past, and, you know, then I just felt like, you know, with, like, I've also learned about, like, church hurt and everything. I've been in a place where, you know, I experienced a lot of church hurt. So I don't know if it's me that is, like, backing off or and I shouldn't be, or and God wants me to stay in this particular church that I was there from last year, and then I left because of the way things were being handled, and it felt like the church hurt coming on again. And so I don't know if it's just me. And then I went to a church online. I was with the online doesn't work for me. So I've gone to, you know, I've traveled 2 hours one way. I just want to be where God wants me to be, and wherever it is, I'm a yes, Lord.
Okay, so Linda, I'm going to say this. Number one, I love those books, you know, if they're helpful, but, you know, as an author, I have to say not every book answers every issue. You and when it's all over, a lot of those books cause us to sometimes self-diagnose. In other words, you know, this sounds like me because I'm feeling that or I'm feeling this or whatever. So I'm going to tell you where God is with you. You're not going to find the perfect church because you don't want to hurt. So the first thing we need to talk about is why you get hurt. because even being hurt and feeling hurt is a decision. There is no utopia. We are not in heaven. And I have a feeling that when we get in heaven, God could probably hurt your feelings. Okay? But
yeah.
Why are you getting hurt?
I guess I keep opening up doors to allow it. I mean, I don't know if I'm still holding, thinking that expecting to be hurt. Maybe that.
Well, talk to me, sweetheart. Tell me what are you calling hurt? Talk to me. And listen, you can't give me a lie. You know, don't give me the last 15 years of your life. But tell me. Give me some examples.
Like for example, you know, just right away, the pastors were saying that, you know, I should be their armor bearer, which I've been through that already. But it's like they don't really seem from their actions that they don't really seem like they have my back. Like there was an incident that happened and I apologized and they wouldn't even talk to me or anything. You know, so they were like unforgiving and towards me. And then, you know, I just don't feel like they had my, you know, they had the best interest in me. Like I know I've, in times past I've been hindered and held down, and I just, I don't want to be in a place, like if God wants me to be there, I'll go back and I'll be there and I'll stay there and I'll do whatever he tells me to do. You know, but I think in that's what kind of caused me, and maybe I'm wrong for feeling that way. Like if like the leaders are doing that, like I just feel like, you know, if God wants me to be their armor bearer, fine, I'll do it. But I don't know. I've been there before, so I don't know if it's what he wants or, you know, I'm kind of unclear of what he wants as opposed to what man wants.
Okay, here's the thing. Number one, you're not ready to be anybody's armor bearer, because the fact that you could say I'm an armor bearer and they don't have my back tells me you're not ready to be anybody's armor bearer. Because the whole essence of the armor bearer is that your back is open while our back is covered. So that's number one. So I know we're not used to hearing that, but that's the purpose. The whole purpose of you being that role in a leader's life is that you are a guard, you're a defender, you're a protector, and you're a shield. And so your feelings don't enter into it. That's the whole idea. That's like the police saying, I don't want to be a police officer because, well, they hurt my feelings. Well, your feelings go with the territory. Criminals hurt your feelings. That's how that works. So you're not ready to be anyone's armor bearer. So tell them thanks, but no thanks. If you can, let them hear this. That's number one. Number two, I want to go back to when you were 12 and 13, because, sister, you took a lot of hits as a kid. You have so much brokenness in you. You have been ridiculed. You've been mocked. You've been scorned. You so much so you don't trust anybody, anybody. So any ministry you touch is not going to benefit from you. So stop trying to be in ministry. What I'd like you to do is find yourself some good counsel. You need a good counselor. You need a good prayer warrior. And I'm gonna tell you something. You're that person who goes into a church and you immediately ingratiate yourself to the leaders because you feel your calling. Your calling to help and serve is well. But you keep trying to repair your past through your ministry, and you can't do that. We need you to repair your past before you get in ministry. You, baby, you are ripped up, and we need that not to be on the altar, and you need to stop offering that gift to God's people. You're so gifted, you're so helpful, you're so talented that people immediately take you up on it because you're there, you're eager, but you're eager because you can only take new experiences. It's novelty that causes you to commit, but the agonies of your past is what causes you to drop out. And so we need to do that. I'm going to pray for God to heal your soul, because you cannot minister to any leader like that. You had a problem with authority figures as a kid. You do not like authority figures. If they say three things off, you out, and that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not – stop doing that. Stop going to church trying to help. Go and sit. Go get in the pew and sit. Go and pray. Before you start getting up with the leaders, I mean, first of all, I'm going to say to every leader out there, stop taking newcomers to your front row. Before you get out there to the leaders, start working with somebody else. Try to get on the prayer team. Try to get on the serving team. But because your gifts are ready, but your soul is not. And I'm going to say that to you again. Remember I told you, your gifts are ready. They're eager, but your soul is not. And
okay.
Stop doing that. You need to let these people know, I cannot be your armor bearer. I'm too broken. I need somebody to bend my arms right now. because that's essentially what you're saying. I need somebody to help me right now. I can't be helpful. So you're going to stop doing that. That's the first thing. I'm going to pray for God to give you a healing because, sweetheart, you need it. And I'm telling you, do not. You are 5 years away from helping anybody get anywhere in the kingdom. You need 5 years of treatment. You need 5 years of just sitting in a good church with a good pastor who doesn't want anything from you. Because here's what happened. The way you grew up, the only way you can get people to accept you is to come bearing gifts and bearing sacrifices. But when they don't reward you the way you expect, you're out. And you become very vicious and very mean and very victimized. Because we need to deal with that in your soul. I don't know who broke your soul. I kind of do, but that's not what this call is about. But I want you to hear me. I want you to, that church, if they have an open door, just sit. Don't make a judgment call on anybody. Don't judge who's doing it right. Don't judge who's doing it wrong. Just sit. Don't sit in the front. Sit in the middle.
Okay.
I don't care what they say, don't do it because they're not helping you. This cycle keeps it reopens those wounds for you, and it keeps tearing at your soul because you keep thinking, man, I can't get anything right. No matter where I go, people don't like me. I can't fit. I don't. You cannot. You're not ready, baby girl. I want you to stop doing that. So that's what I need for you. Okay? When you go to church, sit in the middle, take your Bible, buy the teachings, and whatever. If they have a prayer line, get in the prayer line and leave. Don't go there talking about, I used to do that. Don't even talk about your resume. Don't tell the people what you used to do for God because you're there to get and not to give.
Okay.
And that's his word to you today. Father, thank you so much for Linda. Lord, begin to send forth the healing. Lord, I thank you that you even dispatch angels to begin to mend her soul and to begin to purge her conscience and her psyche from what it is that's driving her to repeat these hurtful cycles in her life. I thank you for doing it. God, I'm asking you to speak to those leaders and to let them know, release this woman and let her sit there where she goes. And whatever church she goes in, God, I right now corral her to the center of that church as a member in the pew. I do not allow the glory and of her gifts to be seen by any leader until you have cleansed her and washed her and, Lord, purged her with the blood of the Lamb. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And I know that was God because that's what I've been really looking for, and nobody's ever gone that deep. And that's what I needed, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Stay in touch, beloved. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Ashley.
Woo! Yes.
You know, you have fun back there in that little booth of yours, don't you?
I do. It's real.
Oh, yeah. You know, and some because I think the church, you know, because we as ministers, Ashley, we need so much. We always, especially we're small or we're just beginning, we tend to be so shorthanded that we just take everybody and we don't really vet people the way we should before we let them in our world, you know, handle our stuff and sit up on our phone because people have various reasons. And sometimes people want to serve their way out of God's correction. And sometimes they want to sacrifice their way out of God's development. And we as leaders are going to have to stop letting people just migrate in and then meander to the front and then take over in ministry. We're going to have to stop that because we need to see the hurt. This beautiful woman has such pain going on in her soul. We need God to send forth ministering spirits, angels and humans that are going to help her get whole so that the treasures she is bringing to the altar are purged and sanctified for the King. I just, you know, we see that so often, and so I look for God to do that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So do I have an announcement, or are you going to give me a break? You know, I have to, you know, produce.
I am.
It? Come on.
I'm going to
Can you produce
a
break?
I can produce a break. I have this snippet that I've been holding on to. It's from the teaching you did called Embrace the Power of Grace. It's something that everybody can go on and register for a webinar that is online, the entire teaching. But I think this is a really good spot to insert it in with the counsel that you have given today. So it's a few minutes long, but it's still all you and very relevant for this moment. So you can have I'll give you a couple sips of coffee, Dr. Price. Here we go.
It's by grace that you can have joy. By grace, you are liberal. By grace, you have pleasure. By grace, you are thankful. Grace produces cheer, calm, well-being, and it makes you well off. Overall, grace makes for a happy outlook, a positive personality, and inner joy. When the apostles and the saints said the grace of God was upon them, that was a big statement. They were like, I'm a changed person because of the grace of God. I am happy because of the grace of God. I feel depressed today. I'll draw on my grace. I feel scared in the situation. I'll draw on my grace. I will draw on that grace of God that gets me through, that passes knowledge and passes understanding. I will draw on the grace of God because God's grace is a power. It is not just a treatment. It's not just an anointment. It is a power. Grace empowers you to do what God would do if he were in your shoes. Grace empowers you to do what God would do if he were in your shoes. The reason that God gives everybody a measure of grace is because he has a portion of his power that he dispenses to you to carry out his work, to do your assignment. The grace of God that passes knowledge, the wisdom of God, the peace of God. And you can do it. The reason calm and joy are included is because grace overcomes nervousness. It overcomes anxiety. It overcomes your insecurity. Grace is that constant topical treatment that keeps these from flaring up when you've got to do something for God that you wouldn't ordinarily do in your own strength, that you couldn't do in your own strength. God's grace is a topical anointing to keep those human flare-ups that will hinder you from happening. It's an inward power. God gave you his grace to be better than you've ever been, but also he gave you his grace to make every dream he's put in your heart for success and triumph possible through you, possible in your life. Hallelujah. Grace works with faith. But it also works with virtue, because God's grace, virtue is what makes God's grace better than the powers of the flesh. We'll talk about virtue next week. And it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness have we received, and then we have all received his grace for grace. Sometimes you got to get a measure of grace, which is salvation, which is the cross, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the new birth. That is your grace for you to be able to handle the grace of God, because God is mighty. Everything about God is powerful. God is an almighty God. When he touches you, it's amazing. So he has to strengthen you to survive his touch. He has to strengthen you to survive his presence on the inside, because until he strengthened us with that grace that we got from Jesus Christ, the grace for us to grow in him, to do him, to tolerate him, to bear up under him, to prosper instead of deteriorate under his holiness and his righteousness was not there.
That was good. Embrace the power of grace. Just a sneak peek of that.
Boy, that was good. I was laid back listening to it. That's helpful to me right now. I'm like, that's working for me.
You just lean back good in the message, talking about, yeah, it's over. Okay, now you need to go online and register for the webinar.
tell them about the in the classroom, because I think that there are a lot of people that are off today. They may want to do that.
Absolutely. Everybody can go to www.drpaulaprice.com and register for her webinars. We have what we call In the Classroom with Dr. Paula Price, and they are exactly that, classes that she has taught, and we have them available for you to go and view. Some of them you'll be able to see Dr. Price. Some of them you'll be able to hear her and see her notes on the screen, so you can take notes. as you go along. I mean, your messages are so meaty, sometimes you don't even know what to write and what not to write. I mean, I think we all want to write it all. But what are the high points of the teaching? And so there are several of them up there. If you go, you can register. You can take it right now after the call. If you want to go later, you can take it later. They are available 24 hours a day. And you can go through all of them if you want. You can see themes that we have. They usually come out every Thursday night, but they are available after that. And so when you go to the site, you should be able to see a list of the previous episodes. You can see where my mind is. Previous classes,
yep.
that we have set up there for you to take and really enjoy that one-on-one session. Sit down in front of your computer, have your notes out, and just go for broke.
And they are very useful, very, very helpful. And they are help you classes. They are your own personal help. They're God pulling up a chair, sitting at the table with you, helping you work through these thorny issues of your life and these restraints and restrictions that you can't seem to shake every time you pick up a project for him, every time you attempt to go forward in him. You just can't shake it. They give you some tools. They're not just preachings. They give you tools. They give you tips. They give you instructions. And so I do encourage each and every one of you who are on there, just take a class. You can help yourself. You don't have to wait for me on Thursday. I also want to say, actually today we got a number of people, a few people, I'm sure I heard too, that talk about, I don't know what church to go to, I'm transitioning. I think this is a good time for us to talk about our Tuesday sessions. You know, many of them may not know that I have a Tuesday session at 8 p.m. Central Time. Remember, I said Central. And that
right. In
that session, we're talking about the organizational assessments. We're talking about the assessments in general so that you can locate your place and purpose. And what we're covering now are the various churches that are out there, because saints do need to know what type of church are they most compatible with that will bring them into God's purpose and fulfill their destiny. So Tuesday night, again, that's 8 o'clock Central Time, we're talking about the different kinds of churches there are, and we're giving you a profile of the church, the church type, the leadership type, and the membership type. This week, we introduced it with the prophetic church. How to know if you are suited for a prophetic church. How to know if you are a day to be a prophetic pastor, a leader of a prophetic church, and then how to handle it and manage it. So I thought this was a great time, Ashley, to discuss that. You've been a part of those sessions since we've begun them, and I'm sure the whole piece on a prophetic church was amazing since you're a prophet.
Oh, absolutely. And the Tuesday night is a whole different thrust. It's a whole different purpose. And so you can sit down and soak in the information feeding off of your mantle, Dr. Price. But the Tuesday night talking about the prophetic church is great if you know you are called to lead a prophetic church or if you are a member of a prophetic church. What I appreciate about your teaching, Dr. Price, is you will teach the teacher and the student at the same time in your shows or your lessons or your messages, so that as a leader, you know how you're supposed to put things together, but also as a follower, you know how to keep yourself in check. It's very easy as a follower to judge. My leaders, these people. And then you will run down how you, too, are so accountable to keeping this organization going. And you, too, have a role to play in its success or its potential failure. So those Tuesday nights are very meaty and very maturing, and it causes you to mature.
Yeah, and so we're going to go through all of the church types. We're going to, as we go forward in our Tuesday night sessions, we're finishing up. Well, I don't even say finishing up, because we still have quite a bit to cover on the prophetic church and the prophetic pastor. You know, the difficulty that that a pastor's mantle has when it has to wrangle itself around the prophet's office. You know, that's important. And so we'll go through that. We'll go through exploring an apostolic church and all of that so that you all who are looking for churches, you can say, well, wait a minute, maybe I'm not suited for this church. Because many times we just go to a church because we like the leader, we appreciate the charismatic that's going on there, our families are attending, our best friends, they're renowned churches, and we go to be seen, although I don't know how you could be seen in a renowned church, but that's a whole other thing. Or we go because it's a small church, and we can be seen, and we can get our gifts recognized earlier, and perhaps get ministry opportunities sooner. That's none of those am I making a judgment call on, but I want to say, for those of you who want to know where you are and what church you ought to be in, what church you will thrive in most of all, that's what these sessions are about. So for the next several weeks, probably the next few months on Tuesday nights, we'll be exploring the different types of churches and the kind of Christians that belong in what kind of church and why. I mean, I thought it was interesting when we talked Tuesday night, Ashley, about how there are people who are not prophets and probably not prophetic, but they are very sympathetic to the prophetic. They're very affine to it, and they love being in a prophetic church. So there are people who love the way prophetic churches worship. They love the way they sing. They love the way the people dance. They love the expression of the arts and all of those kinds of things. And let me go back to say to you right now that that session is online. It's on my Blog Talk site. So you can come, leave this call, go right into that one to see what we're saying in that particular show. It's very good. I think it's good. I know that I wish somebody had told me what kind of church I would fit. Man, a lot of us are getting put out because we're going into the wrong church.
Huh. There's a thought.
Yes. Well, it looks like I have time. Do I have time for one more call, or actually I should not? You know me, I get all involved.
You do. I think you can squeak this one in because I have one left for you.
good. Let's squeak it in.
All right. I have Tobias on the line. You talked to him earlier this year, he said, and he sounded familiar to me, he and his wife. And he's actually just calling. They're calling for some general prayer today. So, Tobias, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Prophet Ashley. How are you doing, Apostle?
I am great, Tobias. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I just wanted a little prayer, Apostle. Not much, you know?
I know. Now, Tobias, where'd you call from? Where are you calling
from? Alabama, Birmingham.
You know, I like the Alabama people. You know, I got to get there soon, Tobias. I just keep getting all of these Alabama folks. I do. So I'm going to pray. The first thing I'm going to pray is for you. And you clearly love your wife, and she clearly adores you. I'm going to pray for y'all to get on the same page on some recent issues, you know, and that you hear each other, that you really hear each other out, because
yes,
that's needful. Because your decisions that you have to make require you to not assume what one another is saying or thinking or feeling, but to really know. And that you listen to one another, even in terms of processing your decision. So that's the main thing that I hear God wants to say. I think that movement is in your future. I think that, to me, I just see winds of change swirling around you, just winds of change. And right now, the change is ruling you, and God wants you to step back and start managing the change because it's all around you. So it's, you are... because of your faithfulness to God, and you are truly a son. I mean, when I hear your voice, you can just hear it. You're truly a son. You will just bend over backwards to please God so that you don't, not only so that you don't miss him, but you really want God's favor and God's approval. And so God said to tell you, I'm going to give you some new nuances in how to pray and how to take steps and initiate things so that you won't get blindsided by something else. And you won't get sidetracked on other things because right now everything around you is, I just see a bunch of little chickens nipping at your feet, nipping at your heels just to distract you, just to keep you off point and, I think, off kilter. So those are the things that I'm going to pray about because that's what you need right now more than anything. Father, thank you for Tobias and his family. Lord, thank you for his love for you as a son. I mean, he took that to heart. You know, there are people who get saved, and we take it theologically, we take it spiritually and symbolically, but God, he took it to heart. You are his father, and he is so committed to you, so in love with you. And Lord, I thank you that now he can mature, that you're going to bring him on that path of maturity, that he will come into the full measure of the man Christ Jesus that is stretching and straining to get out in him, to stretch out in him. So I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you answer their prayer about ministry, that they get specific answers, not generalized answers. And Lord, that you give them specific answers. I'm also praying, God, that they, the prophecies that they received that are not you or that came to them too soon, are put on the side so they can hear your voice in the now. I'm asking, God, that they get now counsel and now insight and now guidance into what they're going to do. I'm asking that you bless them, Lord, cause them to hold hands together in this particular venture, in this new move that's coming. Let them stand shoulder to shoulder, not her dragging behind and him moving ahead or vice versa. I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that the prayers that they have, God, they've got three major petitions before you. Actually, there's four of them. Major petitions before you. God, I'm asking you to answer them, Lord, not just by the word, but through vision, through prophecy, and through the scriptures that they have. I thank you for doing it. I'm summoning into your life now good advisors and prophetic counselors with the wisdom to take your hand where you have to go. Now, the ministry that you're going to set up, God said, don't rush. Please don't rush. I just hear God say, don't rush. Please don't rush. You are having a little bit of a hiatus on purpose, because God says I have to reset some things in you, not just in you, but in your family. So God says, don't rush. For you, these next few months are going to be, hey, let's rethink this and let's restructure. Let's rethink, let's restructure. But I can't keep that again. I see movement all around you, and that is where you are right now. God, I see there's a binder, a book that you write in. And I see it's kind of a nice-sized book, and it has lined paper. God said, be prepared to write out what I'm telling you to do, and this time follow the plan meticulously. He says to you, as he said to Moses, see that you build it according to the pattern that I showed you. That is his word to you today, in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And listen, let me know what's going on, because you're going to be shifting real soon. I hope you're ready to shift.
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to be ready. You know, I'm trying to be on post and doing all I know how, you know.
I know. Well, you're going to get help soon, because you're going to get some counselors. I just see some prophetic advisors coming into your life, because you know what God is saying on the inside, but your brain is wrestling with your history and wrestling with some extreme strenuous things like family issues and opinions. You are struggling with a lot of opinions, so God's going to send you some people to cut through that darkness and to clear away that murk so you can hear.
Yeah. I'll see you at a
God bless.
God bless you. Take off.
Well, Ashley, I got a few more minutes, but not enough time to take a call. What you think?
Nope, not enough time to take. Not the way you take call. No.
Well, you know, I care about these people. I want to make sure that I get into what they need to hear from God, and that I can, you know, cause them to hear him and to articulate some of the things that he's been saying, other things he's been feeling, other things they've been praying. So I'm looking forward to doing that. This is not a marathon race. I mean, a sprint for me. This is not even a marathon race. This is a journey. Because sometimes I want these people to hear from God. And I want that. They've been waiting for God for a long time, so I'm not going to rush. I decided I'd rather take less calls and give a lot more information so more people can pick from it than to take a bunch of calls and not remember what I said.
Well, we appreciate it. I appreciate it that you don't just kind of sling prayer and prophecy like hash in a diner. You know, here you go. Order up. Take it out. So that is that 5-star prophetics right here.
Yes, not the blue plate special.
Thank you.
I know it.
Well,
Ashley,
do you have 60 seconds of inspiration?
Ashley, I was – Ashley, you don't want me to get started, because you know I'm not going to do 60 seconds of information. You know that. I started out giving people a 5-minute exhortation. Half hour later, I'm on fire, pulling myself from the ceiling. I'm just ready to climb on that. I'm telling you. So I want to just I want to thank them for tuning in. Remember, go back to my blog talk and listen to this again. If you got a word from God, go back and record it. That's why it's there. It's okay for you to go back and record it. Paul told Timothy, war with the prophecies that were given to him, because you need to recognize that when you first get it, that thing is just sitting on the surface. It takes a little bit. It takes some sunshine. It takes a little bit of light. It takes the breathing and all of that, the water, to get it to seep down into your soul and become the living word of God, that it becomes effective enough, energetic enough to begin to shape the circumstances around you to cause it to happen. So go back to the word. Join us on Tuesday night, because that's very important. And most importantly, beyond these two things, because I think they're vital, take the assessment. If you haven't taken it, take it. If you're a pastor, have your organization, your leaders take it so you can find out what type of church you are. You might be spinning your wheels in one capacity when God ordained you to another. My experience has been people start churches under one anointing because that's the start point, but God had something else in mind. Learn about it. So those are my inspirational points for today. And Ashley, you know I enjoy you as my sidekick, but we'll see you next week. In Jesus' name, enjoy the rest of your holiday. God bless.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.